This is the, as I mentioned, this is the 88th Paul Men's Breakfast. We have met, as I said, since 99, and the purpose is just to get to know each other. There's no, this is not a religious meeting or a multi-level sales meeting or anything like that, so don't feel any pressure about that. It's just simply a man's story that lives in the neighborhood or this area, and they're welcome to share whatever they want. You know, if you're, do they still do Amway or any of that? No, I'm kidding. As I always mention every meeting, that you can leave early if you just want to be here for the food and the fellowship, and you have some other activities. Feel free to come and leave if you have to. Some forms here. If you're here for the first time and you feel comfortable giving me your contact information, I have a database that I don't use for anything else other than to give notice about the meeting. So I'll put these over here. If at the end of the meeting you want to fill that out, that's great. But the important thing is your emails. I think all of you got the information by email. Sometimes we get people that see the sign, and I have CDs of past speakers here. Those of you that still have CD players, who has a CD player? Raise your hand. Okay, I guess it's, oh yeah, three of us. Yeah, okay. And those are also on the web, as I was showing. This is the Polo Men's website, and under past speakers, you can get speakers by last name. For instance, if you go to the J, we had Ernie Johnson. You remember Ernie Johnson, the Braves announcer?
Yeah.
He was a member of Polo. And how many found out about, most of you found out by the email, right? Nobody found out about the sign or the, and Hans, you found out first about.
There's a sign, you know, I talked to my daughter a couple of months ago, said I should go over there, but then I chickened out. I say, why not, you know, it's nothing to do.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad those signs are working, and thank you for coming. And again, the purpose, as I said, is a social to build community. It's for anybody in the United States. So if you know anybody in the United States that wants to attend these, I used to say Polo and Vickery, but you know, anyway, there's really no restrictions. But it's intended to build kind of community in this area. So. And as I mentioned, it's not religious, and we try to remain politically neutral. Feel free to express your views in that area, but we don't want to make you feel like this is a certain political-oriented gathering, because it's not. I mean, I appreciate people's passion for their views and their what they decide, but when we come here, we're all friends, right? Okay. Nod your head like this. Okay. let's see. Also, if you have any prayer needs, I know Tim's wife. Is she still doing okay? Or
she is, but it's very slow.
Okay. Yeah. And so we'll keep her in your prayers. And anybody else you want to mention when I send out the email, just to have people remember your needs in that. We used to try to recognize anybody that's in the Homeowners Association and if there are any information from that, but I don't think anybody that's attended the meeting recently has been involved in that. But if anybody have any Homeowners Association news they want to let us know about, okay? Let's see, what else? Okay, so now around the room, this is one of my fun things that I like to do. So you don't have to stand, but if you can't stand, fine. Give us your name, where you live, how long you've lived here, and your favorite restaurant. So Hans, we'll start with you.
My name is Hans von Schirschke. became about 5 years ago there. I've crossed the street on the 17th Fairway. And I don't have a favorite restaurant. I cook for myself.
Yes, you're a chef.
No, I don't. Besides, my age, you get restriction. At night, you cannot get any more. My daughter won't let me out. She said, it's too dangerous. So, now I done a comprehensive test by Johns Creek Hospital 2 years ago. And basically, I come in with flying color, except two things. I shouldn't drive at night, and I shouldn't drive when it's wet and it rains. It's like teenagers, you have restriction until you grow up, but when you get older, they come back.
Yeah.
So that's where I am.
Thank you.
That's all what I can say.
Wonderful. Thank you. And John?
I am John Reimer, and I moved here in 1999.
To Polo?
To Polo.
Wow.
And I live at 5925 Polo Drive, which is, if you come in from Post Road over there, I'm like the fifth house on the left coming down the hill. It's kind of a yellow country French house, usually with red geraniums on the front porch. That's where I live. And my favorite restaurant is Casanova.
Oh, great.
They do a great job.
Okay, Warren?
My name is Warren Gerrals. I live at 6810 Sunrider Drive with my daughter and her husband. We spent 8 months down here and 4 months up in Michigan. We had a resort up there, which we sold to our other daughter, and we stayed up there for the 4 months.
Where in Michigan?
Upper Peninsula.
Oh, wow.
Just about on an island.
Oh, wow.
Called Nevis Island. My wife and I have been married almost 66 years. And I have two daughters. We've lived all over the United States. We started in Ohio and lived in Kentucky, Texas, California, Florida, and now in Georgia. And we don't have a favorite restaurant. We're learning.
Yeah.
And we're just getting ready to go back to Michigan. And I'm sure when we get back in October, we'll find some place. We went to a number of places with our daughter and son-in-law. But this is a great place to live. Unfortunately, though, I think it's going to be a little hot this summer.
But thank heavens for air conditioning.
Yeah.
It'll be cool in the UP.
Yes, it will. Go ahead.
I'm going to get the bio.
I'm Alan Kemp. I live on Polo Hill. Been here since 2019. First moved to Atlanta in 1988 and spent the first 31 years in the Dominique Sandy Springs area. And favorite restaurant wise, I guess it's going to be like a Sugo, perhaps. My wife's a big Italian lover, so anything Italian, she's right there.
Awesome.
I'm Gary Tulesky. Been here about 4 years. I'm across the street from Hans. And I don't know if we have a favorite restaurant. Casanova's a good place to eat. We sometimes find if we go to a restaurant, it's not quite good enough to warrant a second visit. Maybe it's because I'm critical, or I live with three really good cooks.
Awesome.
I'm Jeff Dykes. I live at 7220 Meadowbrook Court. Wife and I moved here in 2003. I guess my favorite restaurant right now is a little place in Hartwell called Downtown Cafe. It's a mixture of Greek and Italian. Locally, one of the places we get takeout from is Pacific Spice, mainly because they're open all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So.
My name is Tim Nance. We've been here since 2012. We moved from New Jersey. I live up on Westchester Place, just about six houses away from Hines.
Mm-hmm.
Our favorite restaurant is Sugo's as well. We love the owners. They're always there, and that's what makes it a better place.
Yeah. That's good, yeah. Yeah, we enjoy Sugo's as well. I'm Heinz Wegener. We've lived here since 96. Yeah, so most of the roads weren't paved when we came out here. No, that's not true. And we We go to Branchwater quite a bit, and Tanner's. We used to eat at the old Tanner's restaurant on Spalding Drive 50 years ago when Rick started some of the early Tanner's restaurants. I don't know whether some of you remember that, but yeah, those were the good old days. So with that, I am going to introduce our speaker, and he would like me to play one of his songs for the first song. And which one? The Yes, I Believe? Or
Yes,
the...
I Believe. We're going to save the other one for the end.
Okay. And John will tell a little bit more about the his songwriting career and also about his life in general. But let me introduce him. John Reimer is benefits agent with Great South Benefits Group, which offers group health insurance for small and medium-sized businesses, long-term health care insurance, and life insurance. John previously owned Reimer Homes, which developed residential communities from Dunwoody North to Dahlonega for about 12 years. Prior to Reimer Homes, Inc., John was a chemist with Kraft General Foods and worked in the food industry for 30 years. He received a BA from Berry College, where my daughter graduated, majoring in chemistry. John is married with two children and is a published author and songwriter. And you can get his music on YouTube at John Reimer Music. And so he asked me to play this song, Yes, I Believe. And I'm going to sit down. And John, do you want to come up here to talk? Or what's your... And then I will play this. I'm going to put this up here by you as well. So,
okay,
there we go. And I'm going to play the first song. Yes, I Believe. Right, John?
Yes, please. Okay. The piano player is Tim McGraw's piano player. Tim McGraw out of Nashville, country singer, Faith Hill. I did. They're just substitute grandkids.
Jesus died for
Thank you, Heinz. Do I need to do anything with this?
No, just talk. Yeah.
Just talk. I usually only speak to groups larger than 500.
I'm sorry.
But Heinz called me and he practically begged me to come talk today. He said, oh, what a relief. I couldn't get anybody. So I hope I won't waste your time by talking to you today about, and I will, while I'm talking a little bit, I'll tell you why I wrote this song and the other one at the end called Embraced by the Light. I'm not going to talk much about my business career because I'm sure most of you guys that worked most of your life, you could talk all day about your business career. And I have some very interesting stories with some of the things I did during my career. But what I want to talk to you about today is something I like to say right up front. You may or may not believe my story that I'm going to tell you today, but it won't hurt my feelings if you don't believe me, because you'll find out as I tell the story, my own mother didn't believe me when I told her what happened to me. So this all started, I'm 81 years old now, but I was born in Ellijay, Georgia in 1942. And it was a beautiful little town in those days, great place to live. And how we got to Ellijay, my father opened up a Western Auto store in Ellijay at that time. And so that's why we happened to be there. And my mother, there was a chenille mill there called J&C Bedspread, and my mother was like the executive secretary for the owner of that company, Joe McCutcheon. And so when they were both obviously occupied working during the day, so when that something happened that I was at home, it was like vacation days or I was sick or something like that, we would have a housekeeper at my house, keeping an eye on me. Her name was Miss Horton. Now, we attended the First Baptist Church there. It was a little church in Ellijay. And so we were there every Sunday for Sunday school, church in the morning, sometimes training unit at night, but another service in the evening. So I was hearing a couple of half-hour sermons every Sunday. So, I knew a good bit about the Bible and about Jesus Christ and, through listening to all those sermons. Well, one day I got very, very sick, and we lived in a small house, and it had a little coal stove in the living room, and that was the heat for the whole house. And so the bedrooms weren't that warm when it was cold weather. But mother, before she went to work, she put a little blanket down on the floor, and she, for me to lay on near the stove, and went to work. And so I was feeling really bad, and I don't know what I had at the time. This was back when I was like 10 years old. It's been a long time ago. And it could have been something like the flu or something like that. One thing I had, I think it might have been the same thing. I had a fever so bad one time, my front teeth came in, and they had little holes all in my teeth from the fever being so bad. So I was pretty darn sick. So I'm laying on the floor, and I said, I feel so bad, I think I'll pray. And, for a little 10-year-old kid, I don't know why, but I just had been at that church, and when going to that church, I bought everything they said about the Bible and about Jesus Christ. And so I was a big believer. So I prayed, and I don't remember exactly what I said, but it had probably had something to do with, I really am feeling terrible, God. If you can see your way to, please give me a little help here. And why I came to talk to you today is because what happened to me was incredible. God came to me laying on that floor in the most powerful way. And it was like pure love embraced me. And inside, outside, all around me. And it was the most unbelievable thing. And I wrote down some words to try to, when you try to explain something to people that is not like something you're used to doing, like scrambled eggs or something you can relate to somebody about, this is nothing you can really describe to people and let them know how you felt. It's impossible. But I wrote down some words, pure. I wrote down pure love. It was that kind of feeling. It was unconditional, like you know what unconditional love is. I was surrounded. I was enveloped. It was powerful. It was divine. And the last word I use is supernatural. It was not of this world. And that's why it's when you get up in front of people and you say something like this, and you'll understand as I tell the rest of the story why I'm just now talking about this, because most people are afraid when they get up in front of a group of people that they'll say, well, you know, it could have been this, it could have been that, I don't really believe this or whatever. And people just don't want to go through that. But you'll find out as I'm telling this story why I'm doing this. But I didn't do it during my life, but I'm doing it now. So anyway, that's what happened to me. And I got up off the floor after it was over. It was, I guess, a few seconds. I don't know how long. I didn't see anything. It was just blank, and then I felt it. And I called the housekeeper, and I said, Miss Horton, God just came to visit me. And I want to go down to church and tell the pastor what happened to me. And she said, no, Johnny, she said, I can't let you do that. You have to wait till your mother comes home. So, you know, I'm excited about this. And again, just an incredible experience. And so finally, mother came in and I said, Mother, God came to visit me today. And it was just incredible. And I want to go down and tell the pastor of the church about it. And she stopped me for a minute. She said, Johnny, I don't think so. She said, that pastor's a real busy man, you know, and, you know, we don't want to go down there and bother him. And so that stopped my story right there. And that's why I never talked about it after that, because I thought, well, geez, if my own mother doesn't believe me when I tell this story, nobody else is going to believe me, you know. So, anyway, anyway, I wish I could somehow push a button and you guys could feel what I felt. It was like you would drop to your knees because it was literally incredible. So the next church service we went to, usually at this church, at the end of each service, they would have us hymn. I'm sure you guys have heard some of these hymns, like, come as I am or whatever, and come down to the front if you feel like you want to devote your life to God and be baptized. So I went down there and did that. And then a few weeks later, when I had another baptism, I was baptized in that little church with immersion, just like Jesus Christ was baptized in the River Jordan. But I was baptized. And but I always felt, because of what happened to me, I had that connection to God, obviously, because why would he come to LJ, Georgia and show his love to a little 10-year-old kid? It was like, well, obviously he has some plan for me, because I've heard pastors say I was called and here and there, but nothing like that ever happened to me, and I'm going to get to it in a minute why I'm talking to you now, but I think I'll get to that right now. But now that I've reached my age of 81, and I know some of you guys are older than me too, you know, you can see the end point in your life out there now. You know, it's not like 30 years away or 40 years away. It's might be 10, might be 15 if you're lucky or whatever. So I thought maybe I should try to give back at this point because I haven't really hadn't done that much. But the other thing about it, like Hines was showing a book over here that he talks about people who've had after-death experiences. And these people talk about a review in heaven. And almost all of them say that it's either Jesus Christ or an angel or one of the disciples or somebody, when you get there, there's a review of your life. And it's not a bad thing either. They don't say, geez, Hines, the way you, what you said to that woman over there, you know, that was real. They don't, it's not like they beat you up. And sometimes I heard there's a sense of humor about it, which delighted me because I know God must have a sense of humor, since we all do. And even some of our animals have a sense of humor, as you see. But I thought, well, if I get to that review, and after God appearing to me, and I haven't done anything to give back, I'm not going to feel very comfortable. So part of my reason for doing this is to, so when I get to that review, I'm giving something back, you know, that I'm not there with an empty bag, so to speak. And also back to the books a little bit, Embraced by the Light, which you'll see after I get through talking, so many people have those similar experiences when they have after-death experiences. They're in a tunnel, and they see a light at the end of the tunnel, and as they get closer, they can feel the love coming off of that light. And so very similar in that way, but that's why I wrote Embraced by the Light. And when you see the video and listen to the song, you'll see, you know, why I wrote that for all these people, about all these people. And also I would like to talk about a little bit about what the Bible says about God being love. John 3:16 probably is the best, strongest verse of any kind in the Bible. But the very next verse in the Bible, well, John chapter 4, that's where the words God is love really shows up. And he tries to explain about God being love. And one thing I forgot to mention back when I was talking about L.J., there was a little monument in the yard in front of the church that said God is love. And I know you've seen that those three words probably hundreds of times in your lifetime. And I feel like that most people were like me. They didn't really understand what that meant. That they, you know, it's just something else like, well, I love my wife, I love my dog, or whatever, you know. But it's not like that. And I saw that John even had a very difficult time trying to explain to people what really God is love means, that he really is love. Not that he just showers love on people, but he is love. And that's a concept that's hard to explain unless you had something happen to me like did, where his love just envelops your whole body and you can feel it that way. But I think that was what I was going to tell you about that, about what the Bible says about God's love and so forth. The other thing I'm doing is, you see this cross here. I am giving these away to anyone who wants one. Hines has one on that I gave him when I first came here. So that's another little thing I'm trying to do. And I want you to know, too, that getting up and talking about God in front of people is not an easy thing to do. But I think of the disciples sometimes, Hines, and how difficult it must have been when God said, I want you to go out and be fishers of men. imagine going out and talking about a man being hung on a cross, put in a tomb, came back from the dead, and telling people who had never heard anything like that before and trying to convince them that this was actually what happened. And at the same time, the Romans are chasing you, trying to find you where they can kill you or crucify you. And so what I'm doing here in front of you is a whole lot easier than they. And it's still amazing to me that they were able to go out and get Christianity started, and it's where it is today all over the world. So but I think I explained to you why I'm doing this, and I would like to keep doing more of it as I get comfortable talking about it, and I appreciate your patience with me, because like I said, I haven't done this many times, but I'm trying to get my story out, I know a lot of people are not going to believe that story about God coming to me, but if even one or two people here or there, it means something to them in their situation to know that God is there and he loves you, and we are all his children too. This is another concept, and I didn't even have it in my notes to talk about today, but we are all his children, and he loves all of us. And it's helped me so much later in life, because, you know, I could be at the fitness center or somewhere else, and you may see people in your life and think, well, I don't like that person that much, or, well, that person could work out a little more, or whatever. And you look at that person and say, that is a child of God. It makes you look at that person a lot differently. And it certainly has helped me in that area. So anyway, Heinz is going to play Embraced by the Light for me.
A couple quick questions. Tell us how you try to apply your faith in the workplace and in non-religious kind of settings.
Well, wearing a cross. I'm a member of the Forsyth County Chamber of Commerce, and we have pretty regular luncheons where you're able to get up and talk about, you know, I'd say I do group health insurance for businesses or whatever, and I'll say, you know, I give away, if you like this cross I'm wearing, see me after the meeting and I'll give you one. So that's one way of doing it. And, of course, what you're doing, Heinz, is allowing me places that I can go and talk about this. And it, you know, it's tempting to want to talk about your business, but where I am in life right now, I really want to spend my time talking about my experience, which is kind of an unusual situation that happened to me, as much as I can. And also, the way I look at God, I want all the glory to be there. And it's hard for us because we want that prize. We want to be in first place. We want to get the award, and we want to get the applause in our life. But that's not the way it should be with God. It should be that we are giving him all the glory. And so when I'm out talking, I want it to be about God and Jesus Christ and not about my business or what I'm doing with business, Heinz. I want him to be about him and his glory. So.
And one other quick question. When did this start to be important to you? And was there something that happened in your life? Because it has been your whole life.
Well, what happened was I started reading all those books about after-death experiences. And I will tell you one thing about that, because I told Heinz, this group wanted me to, I can come back and talk a lot about that and about what heaven is like. But I started reading all these after-death experiences. And these people were brain surgeons, airline pilots, school teachers, librarians, not people that are trying to scam somebody with this story or make some money on it. Little kids like the little Burpo boy that wrote that story called Heaven is Real. If you read that story, you'll believe it, because he says things that there's no way he could have picked that up anywhere else but in heaven. And but I read all his stories, and like I said, I'm looking at, I know my time will end sometime. It may not be real soon, I hope. But if it does, I want you to know, I feel real good about that. I'm not worried at all about passing on, because I really believe that heaven is there for us. And if you believe in Jesus Christ and you ask forgiveness for your sins, you got to be there. And I tell you, eternity is a long time. And there's a lot of people out there now, if you watch the news at all, are going to be very disappointed when they get to their interview, because, you know, they're not going to get in heaven. They're really not, in my opinion. And it's a long time to be separated from your loved ones and other people in heaven. I want to be in the acceptable group at the pearly gates. I don't want to be the one that says, ah, you know, you didn't do anything for me, so go down that way. You know, I want to. So just in the last couple of years, Hines, I started feeling like I wanted to get out. And I think each time I do this, maybe it'll get easier. But there's so many things I can say, and I know he, you know, wants it to be 20 minutes or so. It's hard to do that. But anyway, I'd be happy to come back and talk to you guys more about what to expect, at least in my opinion. Yes, sir.
John, I find your life very interesting. Please put in context for me what was going on in your life when you wrote these songs.
Okay, well, like I said, I read those books. That's why I wrote Embraced by the Light. And when you see it, you will see, I was a songwriter, and too bad I couldn't spend a little more time doing that. But when I lived in Dunwoody, I moved there in 1969, one of our neighbors owned a company called Bang Records. And Burt Burns was the original, I mean, he's the father in that family. And one of my sons became best friends with one of their sons. But Burt had 40 or 50 hit songs. I mean, big songs. And I've got a CD that's got them all in there. I got to thinking, geez, maybe I could write songs. And like I said, way back in my genetics, there was a Thomas Rhymer in Scotland that wrote a song back in the 1200s. So, and some other rhymers that, it seemed to possibly be in the genetics that, when I get an idea, and I sat down and I wrote some lyrics to a song called I'm Too Old for Falling in Love. And I thought, well, I just want to give my hand at this. So I gave it to a friend of mine. I wasn't a musician or a good singer or anything like that. And he came back with the music with my song and started singing. And it was really good. So it hooked me like catching a fish the first time you ever go out. So I started writing songs, and I get ideas from different things. And like Embraced by the Light, one of the books about after death, a lady wrote a book called Embraced by the Light. That's where I got the idea for the song. And yes, I believe a year ago I was at a church, and they really would get into the music, but it wasn't very good. I didn't think it was very good, you know, the lyrics and the way it went. So I thought, well, I want to write an upbeat Christian song, so I wrote Yes, I Believe. And then I was lucky that I ran into this young lady that was with a marketing company at one of those luncheons, like with the chamber. And the marketing company I first talked to do the video said they were too big for me, but they knew somebody. So they put me in touch with this young lady. And as you'll see, she did a fantastic job. And if you go to my YouTube site, you'll see a Christmas song I wrote called Christmasville. Got that idea. I was up in Tennessee driving around, going to an appointment, and had to turn right in this roadside and said Christmasville Road. So I wrote a song called Christmasville, and it's really a great song for children. But I had songs like somebody said, oh, it's something about their old wedding dress. So I wrote a song called The Old Wedding Gown. The Old Wedding Gown is what it said. So that's where I get ideas. But I wrote a lot of songs. When I first started writing, Nashville was the only place you could get anything published. So I had an agent in Nashville for like 5 years. up there, and so I wrote a lot of country songs, because that's all you could do with. So I wrote a lot of ballads for country music and whatever. So anyway, that's how I happened to get into songwriting. And so if he'll play Embraced by the Light, you need this to do that?
No, but why don't you
But feel free to ask me any questions. If you want a cross like this, ask me and I'll give it to you.
I'm going to go ahead and have that. I'll put that up here, and then I'll come and say a few words.
Thank you for your patience,
thank
gentlemen.
Thank you, John. Great.
Thank you.
We're going to play this, and then if you like to have some more food, please get some to honor the chef.
I was embraced by the light of God's sweet love. I was embraced by the light of His love. His light will shine to show the way. His light will lead us home. When times are bad and we are all alone, His love will light the night. Get down on your knees and pray to God. His light will shine. Time on earth comes to the end, we'll see His light on high. His light will heal all of our wounds. His light will give us peace.
Who sang that? That's a beautiful voice. That
I don't remember at this point, Heinz, who it was at that, because that song goes back through. I can't see the date from here on there.
94.
So I can't really remember back that.
Oh, you wrote that in 94? Wow.
Because yeah, I read that book.
I thought maybe these were songs you wrote recently.
The other one I did last year.
Okay.
And I wrote, yes, I believe, last year. But that one, I wrote pretty soon after reading the book called Embraced by the Light.
And there's some books over there. By the way, the information table is for you all to bring anything you'd like to share. And I put it over there so nobody feels obligated to get it. We would not put it on tables or something, so you feel like you're supposed to do it. But the books that I've got there is Imagine Heaven and Imagine the God of Heaven. And the Imagine Heaven, over a million copies have been sold. And it's a compilation by an engineer. I are an engineer. I am an engineer, is that right? Anyway, and so this guy did it very methodically and trying to keep, you know, things that aren't what this person really experienced, try to keep their own opinions out of it, just them sort of sharing, this is what happened to me. Many of them, when they're on an operating table, they lift up and they can see things on the table, and when they come back, they can identify details that the doctors have and stuff that is just impossible for somebody to do. So anyway, very interesting. And you know, I how many of you watch Young Sheldon? Anybody watch that? Anyway, they had the last episode this week, and the dad dies, and he's a football coach, and he walks out the door, and half hour later, the other coaches and the principal comes back and says, George is gone. I think it's his name. And Young Sheldon thinks about what maybe he should have said to this person, to his dad, as he was going out the door as kind of a final goodbye. Now, Young Sheldon supposedly is an atheist, which again, it really is a reminder that life is short, you know, and to make the most of it. And as you all have found, I'm sure, and I've certainly found that abundant life doesn't come from being an executive or a company owner or having a big house somewhere or driving a fancy car or whatever. That will never fulfill us. And I've found that my fulfillment came as with John when I really committed my life to Christ, and it's been consistent since then. There's been a joy and peace in my life that I wasn't able to get anywhere. Anyway, I'm not preaching. I'm just telling you my story. So please help yourself to more food, and thank you so much for coming. If I don't have your contact information, you feel comfortable, just put it there, and we'll see you in 3 months as well. So thank you. Appreciate it.